Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your Uncle Silk.
And your non-All-American Dan.
Non-All-American Dan. What's going on, man?
Living the dream. We're a man down today.
We're a man down. We usually record on Mondays, but we bumped it up to Sunday because Monday's a holiday, and it's also Dapper Dan's birthday. How you feeling, dog? Another year older?
Feeling good. Yeah, going to be hit the big 32. Excited for it. Should be the best year yet. So this is my shameless plug for me. I always raise money every year for the V Foundation for Cancer Research. So if you go to my timeline and go to the timeline of Stadium and Gale, there's a link on there trying to raise money. That money goes directly to the V Foundation because it doesn't go to me to donate anything like that. Always looking to raise money for the V Foundation for my birthday. But yeah, man, excited. Super excited. Big 32 ahead.
Man, I'm going to do something for my birthday. I might start raise awareness to like hair loss or something like that. Receding hairlines.
Absolutely. Same.
Balding men. I'm going to do that for my birthday. That's going to be my little thing. Raise some awareness.
It's something that I started doing about 6-7 years ago. We've raised, I think, $8,000 or $9,000 over that. So big shout out to everybody that's on the timeline, that's participated, my friends, family, all that stuff. So big shout out to them. Always want to try to give back for the birthday. But yeah, man, big 32 heading to Cabo, San Lucas, or in Mexico on Friday. For a little celebration there. But other than that, man, just looking forward to another year.
What's the best birthday you ever had as an adult?
Oh, gosh.
I want to hear about your bicycle when you was 6. Yeah.
21st birthday was apparently a pretty good birthday.
Apparently.
Yeah, apparently. Word on the street. Pictures tell the story. I don't know. That's a tough question. My 30th birthday was awesome. I was actually back
in
Cabo
that
my
was
30th
mine.
Birthday, surrounded by a lot of friends and just a really cool group of people, just a really relaxing, you know, like 4 or 5 day weekend or 4 or 5 day trip when we were out there. It's super scenic out there, super relaxing. The whales were jumping in the air, all that kind of fun stuff. But it's just good to be able to get away for a while. I've never been a huge birthday guy, so to be able to really celebrate it for the first time was cool with like a big trip to commensurate that. What about you, Silk?
Yeah, man. Same thing, man. My 30th birthday. I really don't like usually on my birthday, I'm really doing something chill. I really don't do vacations or anything like that on my birthday. But this particular year, my boy Ricky surprised me, and like we celebrated here in West Palm. We was leaving the nightclub at like 4 a.m. He's like, yo, if we're heading down to Miami, we're gonna be down there for like 4 days. He had a suite at Fountain Blue, ran into Warren Sapp at a pool party. I gave a chump to him during that party, got kicked out of that party. It was a wild 30th birthday, man. That was a great time with like my closest friends, man. So
yeah, that was absolutely the one. That's what I've learned. It's not even about me. It's about my friends getting together. I had a group of friends that were that we got together on Friday, drank some wine together, just ultimately just hung out for a while at a place right across the street from my house for, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours there. Just a group of them just hanging out. That's what my birthday's about. I'm like I said, I'm not big about me or anything like that. So it's good to get a group together, kind of like what you were just talking about there. So,
all right, man. So happy birthday, man.
I appreciate that.
You shared a birthday with a great man, man. Happy MLK Day and all that. This show should be dropping on Monday, so happy MLK Day. Happy Dapper Dan Day.
Alrighty. And if you have a day off, just make sure you listen to this on as many podcast streams as you can. So, did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend, man. A lot of just family shenanigans. Kicked it with my son and my nephew a bit. And that was it. And it's still going on, man. But a lot of relaxation and just taking it easy, man. Football season was a lot of weekends away.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Yeah, we still got some big NFL games tonight. I was actually at the Shrine Bowl yesterday, so I got to see a couple former Gators play with Hammond, Swain, and Townsend out there. So that was cool. Big shout out to my friend Becca. She got some free VIP tickets and all that stuff. So free food, drink, ability to watch some college football to end the season. So shout out to her. But fun times out there, man. It was a good time. Never been to an All-Star game, college All-Star game like that. So it was cool to see that, because it's one of those things where you don't really have players to cheer for or anything else. So you just kind of cheer on for every big play that happens. So it's kind of a cool atmosphere.
All right, that's what's up, man. Let's get into some Gator updates with our guest of the week, which is brought to you by Brun Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the Panhandle to the Keys, hit my man Greg up, 954-589-2204. Big policies, big coverage, and we're about to do some Gator updates with my man Will Salmon from The Athletic.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
And the second time on the show, we have my man Will Salmon from The Athletic. Will, what's going on?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's been a long time, actually, now that you say second time.
Yeah, it's been a while. We brought you on. We first kicked the show off to hang out with us.
It's actually his third time on. We had him on for that Brenton Cox episode, too.
Oh, very, yeah, very
good memory over there.
Yeah, look at him. Look at him. Sharp at the age of 32.
That's right.
So we just got the announcement that Kadarius Toney is returning. Just want to sit down and chop it up with you about that wide receiver room and any redshirt freshmen or freshmen that younger guys in that room will know about, and how you see it playing out this fall, spring and fall.
Yeah, I mean, Kadarius Toney, he doesn't exactly change my outlook on the Florida Gators heading into 2020, but he's a guy that you'd probably rather have on your team than not have on your team, just because really at any given time he does have that opportunity, or you know, that chance for an explosive play with the ball in his hand. So you want to have those type of guys on your team. I don't think he necessarily gives you an extra win just by his presence or anything like that. But, you know, I mean, he was the reason why Florida was able to beat Miami last year. He had that spectacular play, and then from there he missed some time. But, you know, he's a guy that adds to the room. Again, that doesn't really change my outlook on Florida. The only guy who really would have changed my outlook would have been Grimes, and obviously he's back. And so for me, he's a guy that I look at as somebody who's going to have a major year. I still expect the offense to run through Kyle Pitts, but Grimes will have much better numbers. And I think Jacob Copeland is due for a major breakout this year. I know it's kind of a trendy pick, and it's nothing too earth shattering there. It's not exactly a hot take, but he's ready, man. He should be ready at least. He has a body for it. He's got to be a little bit more consistent with his routes. That's probably been his story that's held him back a little bit. And he had a couple of those plays where he had a couple of drops. And if he makes those catches, those are some long gains. And suddenly his statistics look a little bit better. But he's definitely a guy that I think makes those catches in 2020. And as far as like redshirt freshmen go, I mean, they have the three, of course, Weston, Marks, and Whitmore. I think Weston's probably the guy out of the three that I'm probably the highest on based on things that I've heard. He's a bigger body guy, but also has some speed. So anytime you have a guy like that, that's usually lends itself to some good opportunities and some good things. Under-recruited guy. I think all three of them were pretty under-recruited, but him mostly. Very off the radar type of guy, but somebody that Billy Gonzalez liked a lot during the recruiting process, and so they held on to him. But those three guys, for me, it's critical, just because you look at those three guys and you say to yourself, you know, with a coaching staff that prides itself on taking, I don't want to say projects, but these are three-star kids, and they're not exactly blue chippers. And so Florida fans want to see at least one or two of these kids pan out to kind of say to themselves, okay, the staff knows what it's doing when it comes to evaluating, which it does, but you want to have more examples like that. And so I feel like 2020, they're going to need at least one of them, I think, to step up when you look at all that they've lost. I don't think you need all three, but you probably need one of them to step up.
How did this Lorenzo Linger thing play out for a former five-star running back that was enrolled at University of Miami and just transferred to University of Florida?
Yeah, I mean, with Linger, I'm pretty high on him. He has a pretty good background. The coaching staff checked in on him, did their homework on him, knew what they were bringing in. So, you know, if you look at the track record of the staff, they've hit on all these kids. Again, I think that law of averages, they're probably going to miss on one of these kids one of these days. But for Linger, it checks out where I would expect him to really be a good addition, where he continues that good trend for the Gators. Just because he presents some things that they really need when you look at the loss of Michael Pirine as somebody who really was that triple threat as a running back who could block, catch, and run the ball. I'm not sure how good Lingard is at all of those things, but I know he could run the ball real well. They heard some good things about his catching ability. We'll see. And I think the world of Damian Pierce, and I think that he's flash enough where you should feel good about that position. But we haven't really seen a whole lot of him blocking or catching the ball out of the backfield, so that remains to be seen. And, you know, when you add a guy like Lingard who has that talent, that just makes you feel a lot better about that room. At the very, very least, it adds to some depth, because I think that they feel pretty optimistic about his chances to play in 2020 based on his family situation. And unfortunately, with his dad dealing with some really horrible illnesses and sicknesses. So it's an unfortunate situation for his family. So I think that they feel optimistic that he should be able to play in 2020. But of course, they have to file that waiver and it has to be approved.
Will, how does this offense potentially change with the loss of, you know, your top four or five receivers, I guess top four receivers, and loss of LaMichael Pirine? Most of the offensive line is going to return. Obviously, you have some players that have, you know, a number of years of experience, but maybe don't have the amount of snap counts they're going to get next year. Do you anticipate a change in Florida's offense at all next year?
Yeah, probably. Just because I think if you look at last year's squad and you say to yourself, well, what was their main strength? It was the wide receivers. And so I don't know if you necessarily look at it the same way in 2020. The receivers, I think, are still pretty good. Like we were talking about earlier, when we were discussing Copeland and Grimes and the opportunity for those guys, along with obviously Kyle Pitts, he's still around. So, you know, but the opportunity is there for those guys to get better numbers or to improve and showcase their talent in different ways. So they still got a pretty good group, but it's just not the same team. And so I think when you look at Dan Mullen's history, what he does offensively reflects who his personnel is. And so if that's changing, then you would just think that the offense is going to change. I don't know exactly how it will change, but I would suspect it to be a little bit more balanced, assuming the offensive line improves. But you don't know if that's going to improve. You know, I think people expect it to, just because they're back and they played a full year and they seemingly got better as the season went on. But who knows? I mean, I'm not going to go to the bank with saying that they are vastly improved, because you don't know yet. So, and obviously they have to get a new center too. And so is that Brett Heggie? Is that somebody else? Again, it's another unanswered question. So that's a kind of a big deal. But I expect it to be a little bit more balanced, just because they really included some air raid principles, I thought, last year. And I'm not fully expecting them to do a whole lot of that this year, or as much. They probably will incorporate some again. And also, you know, the quarterback situation is the biggest deal, of course. I mean, do we see more of Emory Jones? I'd be inclined to say yes. Mm-hmm. I think you still line up with Kyle Trask as your first guy, but I expect to see more of Emory Jones than we did last year at the very least.
All right. So since we're on that topic, talk to us a little bit about what you expect out of Emory Jones. I know you know that you can't get off by just expecting that we see a little bit more of him. How do you see that playing out this spring? And then what do you anticipate Emory Jones' role being next fall?
Yeah. You know, I think that just again, based on Dan Mullen's history, he's going to want to put it out there that it's a QB competition, I feel like. And I don't know how much of one will exist or not. But there are some people in that program who really like Emory Jones. And, you know, when Felipe Franks was making his decision to transfer, you know, the question became, well, what happens with Emory Jones now? And where's his head at? And I had a few people tell me that it would be silly for him, obviously, to leave, of course, just because he would probably have to sit out. And so you're kind of just wasting your time regardless, learning a whole new system after being here for so long. But the other point that people made was, you know, he's going to get the opportunity to make a push. I don't know how legitimate that opportunity is because of the season that Kyle Trask had, but you know, if it's my team, I expect him to push for it and to make it a legitimate competition in some ways. I would still expect Kyle Trask, if I'm placing a bet on it, to take that first snap. But as the season goes on, I'd be probably surprised if Emory Jones doesn't make a more of a push. And we see, I don't want to say 50-50 with it, but a lot more snaps for Emory Jones than we did last year. I think last year was more of just a trial and error, see what they had with it. Use Emory Jones for more of a different pace as far as the running game goes because it was non-existent. So you needed part of that too. Here, I with a full season or full off season for Dan Mullen to kind of tinker with it as well and to kind of decide for himself how much he wants to use Emory Jones. That also, for me at least, lends the idea that he'll be used a lot more. He's such a weapon, and I feel like his passing got better. Small sample sizes, so it was really hard to tell, but he looked a lot more comfortable. He was throwing a little bit more with some accuracy. Again, small sample sizes, but I liked what I saw toward the end of the year.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did. I think, like, it's just we all expect Emory to play a lot more in the fall, and I think you'll see Dan Mullen try to introduce the fan base to it in the spring game. I think he'll try to showcase him a little bit. It's just my opinion, and just watching how Dan works. But the real competition, in my opinion, is going to be in the
secondary.
I
totally agree.
Yeah. The real competition, in my opinion, is going to be in the secondary. I got Kyrie Elam and Marco possibly starting on the outside. So I think the nickel position with Trey Dean, Kim Bro, and some other guys is going to be the position to watch. How do you think Dean finds a spot in the secondary if he does?
Yeah, I think if it's me, I'm putting Amari Burney at star. And like you said, I would have Kyrie Elam and Marco Wilson as the corners, just because I mean, Dean obviously he couldn't handle the nickel position. That was clear. Was not a great fit for it. I thought it was a great idea on paper heading into the season. I was one of those people who thought, wow, this is going to work out. This is going to be excellent. I was really high on that personnel move. It just didn't work out. And then they moved him to corner, and, you know, in 2018, he played okay. I mean, he was forced into action at corner, but he didn't exactly light the world on fire there either. And if you kind of compare him to Kyrie Elam's freshman season in 2019, it's no comparison, obviously, to Kyrie Elam having fared much better. So for me, the corners are, to me, I don't think it's much of a debate with Marco Wilson and Kyrie Elam there. And like you said, it comes down to who plays that nickel position. And for me, I think it's Amari Burney with Chester Kimbrough behind him. And I think you have Dean maybe as like your third corner, which, you know, if that's your third corner, you're probably in decent shape just because the guy was starting for you the last 2 years at different positions, but he was still pretty much starting every game for you. And then behind him, of course, you have guys like Jaden Hill and maybe even Kimbrough over there, plus a group of freshmen that they're bringing in who are pretty good. So I feel like they're okay in the secondary. Safeties, again, will probably dictate how good they can be. But I would expect Amari Burney at that star position. And then that linebacker, you probably have Ventrell Miller and James Houston, who enter years where, in my opinion, it's kind of make or break for them and whether or not they will ever get to that next level in their developments.
We had Greg Frey, I don't know how to pronounce that the exact way, leave, and also Zampezi leave from off the field positions. Have you heard any names to replace those guys or any smoke about any guys joining off the field staff?
Also Chuck Heater left to be a DC. So they lost all three of those guys who they brought in as off the field analysts. And to kind of give people an idea, you know, those guys are pretty valuable, but I think that those guys were valuable because of who they were more so than what they were doing, because all those guys had been longtime on-field position coaches in the past, with obviously Ken being a former NFL guy, Chuck Heater, everybody knows about, and then Greg being a former offensive line coach. And so those guys just cut up film for the most part. And, you know, if it was, say, Chuck Heater on defense, he'd be giving like an overview of what that defense that they're going against in 2 weeks is doing, so that they so that they could get a head start on it. And so it was pretty invaluable to have a guy like that to kind of present to Brian Johnson, Dan Mullen, and the offensive staff of, hey, this is what's going on here defensively. This is what I'm seeing. You can't really replace that too much, but I would expect Dan Mullen to fill it out in some way. These positions are, they kind of trickle out after the coaching carousel ends, just because I don't want to say they go to guys who didn't get scooped up anywhere, but they go to guys who may have had some, like, you know, a head coach come in late and flip the staff around, and they may have been like the odd man out at some places. And so it lends itself to some interesting candidates. I don't know of any yet, just because I feel like those positions were filled later on, toward the early portion of the spring even. And so that may be a time when we see some names kind of circulate, just because things sort of flatten out as far as the coaching carousel goes in both the NFL and college game.
And then, well, you mentioned that, you know, Florida has, and this is going back a question or two, that Florida has a, you know, a group of 15 pretty talented freshmen coming on, and I guess transfers as well, and Pouncey and Lingard. Who do you anticipate out of that group of 15 may get some early playing time next season, or who are you most excited to see?
Yeah, I like a couple of the kids who kind of went a little bit under the radar, like that kid, that safety Torrance. I like him a lot, man. He based on a couple of coaches that I spoke to, he probably had one of the better camps they've seen in, you know, a year or so, on the recruiting trail. Just what he was able to do in front of them, they really liked him. That safety position, losing, of course, Taylor, but beyond that, there's some roles to be had. Not fully in 2020, but definitely by 2021. He's a guy I like. Trevez Johnson is another guy who I like a lot. Wrote about him a couple months back. I think when he committed to Florida, he was the worst ranked player in the SEC that was currently committed to a team. That has since changed as more information has been known about him, and I think that will continue to change. I think he has a pretty bright future, who could probably play nickel. Again, maybe not in 2020, but a year or so afterward. And I like Henderson a lot, obviously, at wide receiver. He's a kid who I saw play in Daytona during the state championship. And that kid, I don't want to say single-handedly won that game, because their running back, Parrish, also had a nice, solid game. But, man, the kind of plays that this kid made in that game, just, they don't win this game without him. He just moved the field on their last drive. It was a game where they actually had to come from behind. And on his last drive, I think he went, I think you could probably attribute maybe 60 of the 80 yards to him. And they were on him. It wasn't just, you know, the quarterback throwing it up and whatever. It was him breaking tackles. It was him getting open before the ball was thrown his way. So he's really good. And so I expect him to, we talked about the redshirt freshman. He's a guy who may climb the ladder and get on the field before they are even on a consistent sort of role.
Well, Will, we appreciate you coming on, man. It's always good to read your stuff. I mean, you really get a different angle, and we really appreciate that. Remind everybody, if they're not following you already, where they can read your articles or listen to you, and where they can follow you on social media.
Sure. Thanks for having me, guys. Love the stuff that you guys are doing on a consistent basis too, I may add. It's been fun to follow. But I'm on Twitter at Will Salmon, WILLSAMMON. You can find all of our Florida articles on The Athletic, THEATHLETIC.com. If anybody's interested, I'm always down to help with discounted subscriptions and whatnot, so feel free to hit me up there. But again, thanks for having me on, guys. You guys do an excellent job. Always entertaining, always fun to hear, and always informative, too.
Oh, likewise, man. Appreciate your work. Love your work, dog. Keep doing your thing, man. You out here a little bit.
Talk to you soon, Will.
All right, thanks, guys.
You caught him off guard with that one, you know?
Yeah, he's like, man, I thought this was Dave Miguel and that big three roll up. I don't know what just happened. I don't know what's going on with my hands.
Will's a good guy, man. He's a huge add to the beat. So really appreciate Will coming on.
Yeah, man. Always good. Some dope information. Some good content. My man Tebow got married. You hear about that?
I did. I guess it's beautiful South Africa. Dan Mullen was out there. I'm sure a number of players were out there. Got married to Miss Universe. So, you know, congratulations to our boy.
Shout out to the GOAT. Congrats, man, on getting some cheeks, bro. The GOAT slapped some cheeks last night, fellas.
For the first time ever, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, bro. I'm going to take his word for it.
Yeah, big shout out to him. That's huge. Awesome guy. I know he's excited to come back, and he's got a speaking engagement here in Tampa, I know, in a couple of weeks as well. So hopefully you enjoy your honeymoon. Then it's back at it with baseball season and speaking and all that stuff. And I don't know how he has time in his day to do it, but congratulations to the GOAT, man.
It's the GOAT, man. He always got time. You know what I'm saying? That's what superheroes do. That's speaking of quarterbacks, Felipe Franks took an official visit to Arkansas this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not a place that I thought that he would look at. New coaching staff coming over there with Sam Pittman from Georgia, but probably certainly an opportunity to get in there and, you know, get snaps early. They just weren't a good football team last year, and I don't anticipate them, pardon me, being a good football team this year. So I'm very curious to see how he does with a team that, you know, does not have anywhere near the talent that Florida has.
Yeah, I like it as a fit if he's going to go play on the Browse, just because I know Browse is not going to give him a whole lot of reads. It's going to be get the ball out fast. We've seen what they do at Florida State, a lot of tempo stuff. I think he can put up some good stats on the Browse. But you're right. I think they're going to – I don't expect them to win a lot of football games or have some prolific offense, but I expect him to put up some good stats to get drafted.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's all he needs to do. I wonder about a lack of talent, a lack of an ability to protect him, because they've got a decently tough schedule. Obviously, they're in the SEC West. Their out of conference schedule isn't too hard, although they do have to play Notre Dame. So, but again, you have LSU, Alabama, Texas A&M.
That's Pittman's thing, man. We'll see. Yeah.
We'll see. Pittman's, so
that's Pittman's calling card, man. But I wish luck to the kid. You know what I'm saying? I'm following him.
Absolutely.
I'm an honorary Razorback now, man. So, we'll see. He says he's going to enroll by Tuesday, wherever he's deciding. So, I expect it to be Arkansas if it's down to Arkansas and Kansas.
Mm. Much better in Arkansas, I guess. Best of luck to him. I think that he's going to do well there. I don't know if any of the other players that announced that they were transferring have really announced their landing spots, either from a quarterback position. I know Derek King is still out there. I know that Miami thought that they were going to grab him. This is as of Sunday at 2:40. So I know Felipe Franks at one point was looking at Miami too. I guess the options are slim, and you might as well get in there and get started. And Arkansas is not a bad program, and hopefully he's able to do well there and make it off to the NFL. So,
I mean, out of those options, because from what I was told that he has some difficulties getting into certain programs. I think he kind of slacked off in the classroom.
Okay.
A little bit towards the end. So he has limitations on schools he can get into. So other schools he's taking visits to and that's interested in him, I think Arkansas is probably the best fit. Kansas is shambles.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably get drafted out there, put up decent stats and whatnot, but you talking about Miami, Arkansas, Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
I take Arkansas 7 days a week.
Well, what I would imagine is Arkansas is going to give up a lot of points. They just don't have a very good defense, and they're going to play some tough teams. So they'll probably be playing from behind quite a bit, so they'll probably be throwing the ball. So, Kansas is Kansas.
They just need film.
Yeah.
They just need film and stats. The Aaron Hernandez documentary dropped on Netflix. Have you gave it a look?
I watched about half of it, and that's about as far as I could get through it. We were talking a little bit before the show, but I'll reiterate the same thoughts. I understand that they're going off the information and the people that they have available to talk to, but it just seemed to me like they let people that should not narrate the story narrate the story. I think that there are some minor players in his life that took on major roles in the documentary. I don't feel like we really learned anything new other than some minor, like I said, characters, I think, exaggerating some of the parts of his personal life and everything else. So that's kind of my personal opinion of it. I don't want to call it shoddy journalism or anything else. It just didn't seem like they were able to get the people that they wanted, so the story wasn't quite what we thought it would be.
Yeah, I haven't really gotten into it. I don't know if I'm going to watch it. I got to just be in the mental space to take that energy in. You know what I'm saying? regardless of my opinion on it. I want to watch it eventually, but I got to be in that type of mood. I still haven't watched the documentary of the boys in New York that got wrongly accused. I'm forgetting the name of it off the top of my head, but just certain things.
Central Park 5?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, I haven't watched that yet just because, like I said, I got to be in a certain mood to watch that type of stuff. So I haven't, but my wife was watching it. So I was walking through the house as it was on, and it got to this part where I overheard them just like kind of just joking about his sexuality. And that's what got weird to me. I was like, what is this about? Like, the people that was on the documentary were saying jokes about tight ends and wide receivers and him being homosexual. And it just got kind of weird. I'm like, okay, what, like, if he struggled with his sexuality, he was trying to figure that out. What does that have to do with anybody being murdered or the bad things that he did? Like, why is his sexuality was the base of most of the things? Just me walking through the house and me hearing was just, it was heavy sexuality about who he slept with. And I don't think nobody's plotting murders to hide anything like that.
Yeah, no, there's obviously a lot of other things that happened in his life. You know, I know his dad, his dad died, under, very unfortunate circumstances. So he went in for hernia repair and, ended up, dying during surgery. So I would imagine dealing with that, a guy that needed a lot of structure, a guy that obviously had some people around him that probably took advantage of him. He made some poor decisions. He probably wasn't as guarded and monitored as he should have been. And then obviously going back to New England and being able to reconnect with everybody that he knew before, now with a boatload of money, probably didn't put him in the best situation. At the end of the day, I don't think that his sexuality or anything that he did in high school with their third string quarterback has anything to do with, with what happened. And it's a terrible and unfortunate circumstance. But it just seemed to me like they didn't really tell any part of the new story of Aaron Hernandez or anything else. It seemed like I said, kind of shoddy journalism in terms of putting it out there is this is the full story. And cause that's how they were describing, what the documentary would be. And if you read, James Patterson's book, All American Killer, I believe is what it was called. That came out year and a half ago. And then obviously all of the stories and everything else, you kind of knew everything except for the fact that, now you have a player on his team that said that they were gay together and, is now basically saying that that's the reason, he was so messed up in the head is because he was ashamed of it. So I just took issue with some of the documentary.
In the documentary when they're saying that he was molested as a kid. And then there's jokes and pun about his sexuality. Yeah. The energy of that was, I was just like, bro, I don't know if I want to watch this. You know what I'm saying? Eventually I'll check it though.
Yeah, it was very average at best. I don't even think that the filmmaking was all that great, but it is what it is. And if you you want to see some old B-roll footage of the University of Florida, one of my favorite parts about it all is they talked about how Aaron Hernandez, got in a fight with the bouncer at Swamp, when he was a freshman and sucker punched him. They showed they talked about the Swamp restaurant, and then they had this B-roll footage of like this nightclub and bumping and grinding and pouring shots in like a dark nightclub as like what they thought the Swamp was like. I'm like, that's not at all what the Swamp is like, but it just, as somebody that went to the Swamp obviously a lot in college and then out of college now, it's just funny how they and not, it's such a small minor part of what happened, but it's just not what that was at all. And that's what I mean. It just like, it just seemed lazy and just kind of poorly put together, I guess.
Yeah. I just want to see shovel passes. Give me the clips of the shovel passes in the documentary and I'm gonna watch those about that.
They were showing like some just B-roll footage of like the Florida Gators football team. And they had, Chris Steele getting bodied those one on ones. By Grimes. So that was a funny piece of it. They talked about the jump passes and everything else, and you're just reminded, when I was in school and Aaron Hernandez was there, just reminded how athletic and how good he was as a player, and how just unfortunate the series of events that happened afterwards were. So,
did you feel safe around Aaron? How about, let me ask that question.
I did. Yeah. I never. Yeah, he was always, when I worked for the football team, he was a guy that always, would laugh and smile. And I mean, our interactions were somewhat limited. I mean, definitely probably at least a couple dozen times where we, got together, and I was friends with some people that he was closer with. And I never felt that or, and he had any inclination that he was that kind of guy. He was, like I say, smiled a lot. He was more shy than I thought he would be. A lot of football players actually are more shy than I thought that they would be. But no, I really had great interactions, with him. I say that all day saying, obviously we know what ended up happening to him, but you know, in all my interactions, he was a, you know, a nice guy. So yeah, never felt unsafe.
Gotcha. Yeah, man, people go through stuff, man. You know, he did some bad things, but yep. Some people come out and say good things about him. Some people say, and there's a lot of bad things that mm-hmm. happen, but it's a lot of information that we just don't know. And but that documentary was some shaky work from the clips that I seen, the small clips that I seen. But let's move forward, man. Let's get to some recruiting talk. Before we get into recruiting, man, hit us with the Georgia Pecan read.
Yeah, absolutely. So give our friends over at South Georgia Pecan a call, 800-732-2646. I know I talked to them a couple of weeks ago, and they really are appreciative of all the orders that you guys have gone through them, whether you're looking for pecans, walnuts, cashews, pistachios, you know, the candied, you know, those chocolate covered walnuts that we really like, chocolate covered pecans, all that stuff. They do stuff that's outside of that as well. So really anything that you need from a gift package or anything else that you're looking for, give them a call, 800-732-2646. And then you can go to their website at georgiapecan.com.
Recruiting. I don't know how we're going to do this segment without Ahmad Black today.
I'll do my best to fill in for his deep knowledge of Florida football recruiting.
So with the Zach Evans saga continues, five-star running back out of Houston, Texas, that signed the letter of intent to Georgia. He went on an official visit to Ole Miss this weekend.
Yeah, and Texas A&M is another school that, you know, being from Houston, Texas, a lot of people have recently connected him to the Texas A&M program. They just took their third running back commit of this class. So
they waved the flag.
Yeah. So if they were to add Zach Evans, that would obviously be a fourth. That seems like way too many. And obviously Zach Evans is a guy that you would take over all of those other guys. Visiting Ole Miss to me sounds like a guy that's just trying to look at all available options. Playing for Lane Kiffin probably wouldn't be too bad, but I know Florida is, you know, definitely kicking the tires, and apparently he's kicking the tires on Florida. We're trying to, you know, lock in an official visit date. And they're saying what, the 31st, if it does happen.
That's what they're trying to get him in on, the 31st.
And obviously he would be an unbelievable upgrade, you know, from what Florida's, you know, prospects, you know, look like right now in the running back room. Five-star guy, really talented player. You know, it's our understanding that maybe some of the off-field stuff or some of the character concerns that, you know, some folks have about him might be a little exaggerated, but he's an unbelievable talent. So hopefully Florida can get him in, and that would definitely change the prospects of what that running back room looks like moving forward, though.
Yeah, there is some smoke about it, and I don't like to insinuate when I don't know exactly what the off-the-field shenanigans is. I did heard that he got into altercation with one of his coaches, which punches were thrown. I'm not 100% against that, you know what I'm saying? I don't think it's right.
We had a player do that, right?
Yeah. I mean, if that's the baggage, then I'm fine with that baggage. It's not exactly peaches and cream, but, I mean, this is football, bro. Emotions get high, testosterone's flowing, things happen. But if that's the baggage, I'll take that 9 days out of 10, man. We'll see exactly if anything else pops up. But he was committed to Georgia. And when did Georgia start becoming this team that don't take kids with baggage and off-the-field issues?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see exactly what happened there and how things – you know, did soil again. He did sign his NLI with them, you know, back, you know, in December. So I don't even know how exactly the recruiting process works like, just because the policy has changed. And so maybe you know a little bit more about this now since, you know, the time that I was, you know, working on staff there. Is I thought if you signed an NLI, that you couldn't be contacted by other schools. And so I don't know if Georgia waiving that means that it's completely, you know, fair game. And feel free, any of you that are listening to slide into a Twitter mention. But I thought if he signed that he wasn't able to get at it. But I don't know exactly
how that works. But they released him from it. If they release you from your LOI, pretty much you're free game, but you can't sign another one. You just pretty much enroll where you're going.
Okay. So,
yeah.
I gotcha. So you just sign the scholarship paperwork and then you just move forward from there. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it won't be any more faxing or any decisions like that. He can commit to a school, but I mean, until he enroll, nothing's solid. That's just how it works now. Well, we can stay on the running back path while we're on it. Jahmyr Gibbs canceled a couple of visits to LSU and OSU. So It sounded like it's down to us in Georgia Tech.
Do you know, did he give a reason why, or is it just an announcement? I mean, I saw that he canceled the Ohio State one a few days ago and then LSU, but no real reason.
LSU's reason was because they was at the White House celebrating or something. Oh, like
okay.
That. Yeah. So that one got canceled for that reason. I think OSU was going to be the weekend after us. So it would have been the 31st.
Okay.
I don't know the reason behind that being canceled, but sounds like it's down to us in Georgia Tech. If I had to pick somewhere today, I would say Georgia Tech. We'll see if we can change that.
Yeah, I'd agree as well. You know, part of that might depend on where they stand with Evans. But, you know, Georgia Tech was a program that offered him early. He might have even been their first offer. I know him and Jeff Collins are tied. And I think Kerry Dixon, you know, former Florida Gator wide receiver coach, is on that recruitment as well. So I know that they're really close and really tight. So I would love to see a guy like Gibbs come in, super talented, uber talented player. You know, like you said, Silk, I think that Georgia Tech is really the team to beat. And I don't necessarily even think it's all that close right now. You know, Florida can potentially make up ground, but, you know, I'm going to put it at maybe 80-20 Georgia Tech to Florida right now.
Yeah, I like those odds right there. Like I said, we'll see. But if you land one of the two out of Zach Evans and Jahmyr Gibbs, you got your elite running back, and you can't be mad at the running back class at all, especially with adding Leagert. So I think we need to find a way to add one of those two, man. I think our better shot right now is Zach Evans, and he don't even have a visit set up. So that's just how I feel about it.
Yeah, fingers crossed there. And then we've got, what, four-star defensive end. Princely. All right, I'm going to try this again. Uman Melian. I think that's right. I'm excited to see what Mick Hubert, you know, calls him, but he's going to be visiting on the 24th.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to call him.
Yeah. We, you know, he was really, you know, tied in with Baylor, and then Matt Rhule left to become the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. So with him leaving, I know that a lot of the crystal balls that are coming in on 247 have him as undecided. So with, you know, the Florida Gators needing that strong set defensive end player coming in, you know, I think, you know, Florida stands a good shot if you can pull it from Texas.
Yeah, that would just complete an elite haul. That would be just a dope room, a very good room of pass rushes and guys up front. I want to land that kid. It'd be a great boost to our recruiting class as well. And there's some big dogs out there, man. I like our shots with him. We'll see what's up. Baylor was a big dog in it. They hired LSU defensive coordinator, but it's still still looking like it's us to beat right now.
I'm here for it. I know he's also looking at Alabama and Auburn for that potential final visit. You know, but Florida's been involved in his recruitment for a long time, so that would be an awesome guy to be able to kind of grab in on that 24th visit as well. So,
and my man Avante Williams, four-star safety out of DeLand, visited Miami this weekend. Visits us next weekend. I still got us as the favorite. I see us landing him unless something very weird and shaky goes down. It's going to come down to relationships, and I think we got Rat, and he's one of the Rat Pack kids. So I see us landing him just off of Lorenzo Lingert, who is his cousin / play cousin. Yep. We're not sure yet. And Kewan Ratliff, who's on our secondary staff.
Yeah, Avante Williams is a hell of a player, too. I'm not, you know, sure how many people have watched his tape yet, but just because he was committed to Oregon for so long. But, you know, he's an awesome, really good player, would really add some additional depth to that safety room, which does seem to be changing quite a bit. You know, with the addition of, you know, a player like Torrance and some of these other guys at Florida have coming on board. So excited about, you know, the potential prospects of him. I think he's the number two safety in the country right now. So getting a guy like him, you know, helps flip a room that did have a lot of question marks as well. Silk, I know that we also talked about last week, Ashad Clayton coming in. He had 4-star. He is teammates with Van Pran, who's that offensive lineman that's coming in, I think that same weekend that used to be committed to Georgia. So he's a 4-star guy currently committed to Colorado. You know, I'm not sure. I would imagine that he's going to sit behind Gibbs, Evans, and maybe, you know, another player or two on that that running back list. But he might be a guy that Florida taps, you know, a couple days before National Signing Day with, you know, that committable offer and ready to bring him on board.
Yeah, Ashad Clayton, getting him if you don't get Evans or Gibbs is definitely a drop-off. All 4-stars aren't created equal. They're all 3 4-stars, but it's a definite drop-off between those two. But I don't think with the rest of the recruiting class of West playing out, anybody's going to bicker and complain too much about the running back room. We added Lorenzo Lingert. But if we want somebody to elite this class, it's at Gibbs and Evans.
Yeah, and I was just looking at 247. It looks like a couple of crystal balls have come in for Henry Parrish, who's that running back out of Florida to go to Ole Miss potentially. So, you know, if he goes to Ole Miss, you know, are they worried about the potential chances of getting a guy like Zach Evans? So, you know, again, signs are pointing to Florida sitting okay for Evans, but you know, with Henry Parrish potentially taking that spot, you know, Ole Miss might be ready to write that one off as well.
Yes, and another big one from me, at least, in this class that's left is D. Beckwith, three-star yep. athlete out of Florence, Alabama. Plays some quarterback. We're recruiting him at – also plays some receiver tight end. We're recruiting him at the Kyle Pitts position.
Yep.
Basketball kid, could go up and get the ball, high-pointed well. He's a little raw football-wise, but it's a lot of talent there. And I'm hoping we can land this kid. He visits us the 24th. But then he visits Tennessee the 31st. He has a relative that has a preferred walk-on offer at Tennessee.
Okay.
That's a possible shakeup for us. We'll see how it plays out. I don't want to get into offering preferred walk-ons to people to get kids anymore. We've done that in the past. Yeah, we're on a different level now. I think we should be able to pluck this kid. I want to see us beat him out just straight up and not offering handouts.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Florida stands a good chance with him. I know that, you know, Florida's been recruiting him for a long time. You know, how aggressively that's been at times, I think, has been a little bit of an up and down, you know, but he's a better prospect, in my opinion, than the three-star, you know, ranking that he has. He is talented. He's tall. He can go up, you know, but he's a really solid overall player, has played some really good talent there in Florence, Alabama as well. So getting a guy like him, you know, allows for him. We've talked about on this show that kind of that continued continuity of those same players where you don't have to change your offense every, you know, few years. If you lose a guy like Pitts, you have that next guy, you know, that can step up into that role with a guy like, you know, D. Beckwith or that the tight end from Lakeland we got a few years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm trying to
and
think.
And then Cedric Van Pren. Yeah, I mean, he's
31st,
you know,
is it correct?
Yeah, the 31st, you know, four-star guy. We talked about him a little bit with Ashad Clayton. You know, still committed to Georgia. Did not sign his NLI or his LOI or whatever on early signing day. So he is visiting Florida. I think he visited Alabama this weekend, is potentially my understanding. So, you know, Ford is recruiting him hard. They would love to give a guy like him in, and shout out to John Hevesy, for being able to hopefully reel that one in for the 31st. So, really good player, really solid, guy, number three offensive center, you know, in the country. So, you know, adding a guy like him would be outstanding for Florida.
Yeah, I agree. We had the Polynesian Bowl last night. Was you able to check that out?
I wasn't. I was not. Yeah, talk to me a little bit about it.
I definitely didn't check out. It's West Coast time. It came on in the middle of the night. I didn't catch it at all. But there were some shenanigans that went down.
I think the old ball coach was the head coach of the team that actually won. So
yeah, that's all he do is win, bro.
That's right. I wonder if he's going to make himself a ring like he did for the AAF. I'm not against it either. Speaking of that, before we get into this real quick, I saw that Antonio Callaway just signed with the Tampa team of the XFL. So hopefully he's able to get his head on straight, you know, do well there and then make it back to the NFL. He's a great talent. Just needs to kind of get out of his own way. So shout out to Antonio Callaway.
Yeah, I think he's just kind of waiting on to see what the verdict is with his suspension. And then he probably can go from there. But he's got to keep making checks and paying the bill. So,
yep. Sorry, go on about the Polynesian Bowl. My apologies for interrupting.
Oh, no, all good, all good. Polynesian Bowl went down last night, and amongst the shenanigans in the game, before the game got kicked off, Steve Wiltfong, 247, the GOAT over there, one of the main writers, had reported on Gator site that Leonard Manuel was sent home, apparently. He never stated the reason, said him and another kid mm-hmm. was sent home. So as the game played, I was in DM just talking to a few guys, and they were like, bro, I'm watching Leonard Manuel's IG live. He's at the game right now. Like, he's about to go on the field. Mm-hmm. So I got a little confused. I just kind of watched on the message boards it play out a little bit, and then I woke back up this morning, and apparently the kid played the game. He stayed out there. I don't know exactly what happened. Wiltfong then reported this morning that the information he received about an altercation that went down did go down. but the kid didn't end up getting sent home. But so that something happened, but the kid wasn't sent home. I'm not mad at Will Fong for reporting the information he got from the Polynesian Bowl. I was trying to get him on the show. he was kind of iffy about it and didn't really hit me back. So I don't know if you think I was about to put him on the fire a little bit, but it wasn't, that wasn't the vibes. I don't think he did anything wrong. I think he reported what he was told. He's a solid reporter. He's usually good with his reporting and the facts. His ranking of Lynn Emanuel is another story, but what went down, I'm not mad at how that went down. What's your vibe? What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, you know, I kind of caught up on it this morning, early afternoon. I didn't totally know much about what was going on. I know some people, Connor was probably the first one that kind of caught my attention on what was going on. You know, I think, you know, looking at what Will Fong said was that he got sent home. I'm not sure if changing that word to he didn't practice on Thursday and Friday, you know, is the same equivalent of getting sent home, getting sent back to the hospital or sent back to the hotel. Pardon me. I would imagine that these guys have flights booked for them, especially to fly out to Hawaii. So I don't imagine that the Polynesian Bowl is going to absorb extra charges to actually send somebody home early from Hawaii. Right. You know, I think with Leonard Manuel, you know, even though he was able to play in the game, you know, doing something to get you kicked out of practice for a couple days at an all-star game and you're only there for a week or so is alarming. There's definitely a lot of yellow flags around, you know, Leonard Manuel, whether it was grades, whether it was, you know, changing schools, whether it's some attitude problems.
That's a good color to put on
him. Yeah, like I'm not willing to say
that. I like that color.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, just it's not one of those things that I'm like ready to say, hey, let's, you know, completely write them off. But you just start to have question marks where, you know, things start to follow certain people to a point where it's like, I just don't know if this is worth it in the long run. Right. Like normally when stuff like this happens, it's not you don't get the result that you seek out of that player. Right. Every once in a while, that player's going to come on campus, completely change, you know, buckle down and get in gear and, you know, perform really well for you. But I've seen this, you know, this story time and time again over the last, 15 years that I've been following recruiting is that, you know, when people kind of have these kind of same situations happening over and over, and it's not just a one-time thing or it's not just in one area, that it's sometimes it's just not worth the flyer on them. And you know, the headache is not worth the juice isn't worth the squeeze, if you will.
Correct, Damondo. To be honest with you, just from speaking to everybody that's at the Shanahan and people around the program, they are saying that they haven't had any issues with him. He's been a model student down there, man. So it was a little shocking to see there was maybe some smoke of him getting in trouble. But from what I was told, like, he's been on like his books, making sure he's getting his grades done. He's been staying out of trouble. I don't know what happened. It could have been him and the other kid got in a scrap doing, you know, practice. Who knows, man?
It could have been, sure.
Yeah, it's nothing solid out there. It's like Dan says, yellow flags.
Yeah, and shout out to Will Fong too. I mean, I would imagine that he's not there now. I mean, I shot him out at me, but I understand where he's coming from. You know, he's going to rely on what people told him, and you know, like I said, sometimes it's a misinterpretation, and sometimes it's a game time decision of, hey, you're already out here. We flew you to Hawaii. You're here. You have apologized. You've done whatever. Because like you said, so we don't know how serious it, you know, could have been. It could have been back talking. It could have been, you know, a fight or an altercation, or it could have been, you know, something, you know, even more menial than that. So apologizing, you know, and doing that is maybe the reason why they let him play. But also, again, to be suspended for two games of practice is probably not something like that. So I'm just have some concerns about him. That's all. But
already. Yeah, me too. We all do. We're going to keep the flags yellow for now.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be yellow for a while because he's not going to sign until April 1st. So that's 2.5 months away.
Hopefully they just be yellow for like a year or two, because I think it's going to be yellow for a good year, man. You know how this is going, man. Freshman on campus. We'll see how it play out, man. I feel optimistic about the kid. I hope he gets his grades in order. He's a talent I want on campus, man, so I hope he figures it out. Hey, it's Sunday.
Yeah, solid player.
Yeah, it's Sunday. I'm kicking it head to toe. Head to toe. Gator gear from the good folks at Gator Kicks, man. I got my Gator shorts on, the cotton joints with the Gator across the frontal area. I got my Fred T. Run the State shirt on. I got my my Jordan 4s on, the Dan Mullen 4s. I'm cooling over here, man. So y'all boys represent, show some love to the good folks at Gator Kicks. It's thegatorkicks.com, the Gator Kicks on Instagram, and it's also the Gator Kicks on Twitter. Requests for shoes, customization ideas, all of the above. Hit my man's up. You got any dandy facts today, bro?
While I think of one, did you watch a Gator game, basketball game yesterday on Saturday? I don't know what that team was that played, but
I bet
every time you write off Mike White, something like this happens.
Yeah, man.
He doesn't redeem himself in your eyes, but you're just like, oh man.
I just be sitting there want to get off a tweet, man, and I just couldn't get one off. Here's the thing. I'm gonna tell you how bad. Yeah, pause. I'm gonna tell you, man, I was sitting there watching the game. Before the game, I'm sitting there looking at the lines and about to maybe wager on some game. I see our line is -2 on Auburn. I'm like, how the hell are we -2 on Auburn? I had no plans of watching the game, but when I seen that line, I was like, I gotta tune in. Cause I almost bet on Auburn, but I couldn't find the I couldn't find the energy or the it's too much Gator, bro. I'm too Gator to bet against my team. But I was like, man, I don't know, bro. I think Auburn might smoke us. Lo and behold, we won that game, man. So shout out to Mike White. No, shout out to Mike White. Good win, Mike White. How about that?
Yeah, good. Great job to the other players. I watched half of the game or so before the Shrine Bowl.
I think Blackshear's a little soft. I'm going to be honest with you. Why are we here?
Yeah, I would agree with that a little bit. I thought his shot selection was a little weird, too, at the beginning of the game. Now, mind you, I didn't watch the second half, and I know that, you know, Florida really took advantage in the second half. But, I saw him pulling up on back-to-back threes, and I don't know. I don't know what this Florida team is going to be. I mean, you know, that's their first win I saw. That was the first time since 2009 that they beat a top-five team. So, maybe, you know, at home or whatever it was. I don't remember the exact stat.
What do you think Vegas is?
I don't know. I don't know if they don't potentially trust Auburn. You know, I haven't followed the team that much this year or college basketball in general.
Well, Auburn did lose earlier in this week, I believe, though.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, they just – Vegas seems to know a lot of things. I don't know if it was a faith in Florida, right, because, you know, Florida had a, you know, really tough loss to Missouri. Auburn did just lose to Alabama, and Alabama's not that great of a team this year either. So I don't know if they were just like, hey, we're just going to, you know, keep it tight so we don't potentially lose a lot of money on a big spread. But, you know, I don't know. This Florida team, every time I think they're starting to get it together, something like that Missouri game happens. And I know that Missouri, you know, then the next game shot like 1-for-20 behind the three. So I don't know if Florida just caught him on a bad night or on a great night shooting. But, you know, Florida at this point has too much talent to not be able to progress forward to be the team that they want. They have a, you know, top 10 recruiting class, a number of returning players from last year's team, the number one transfer player. At some point, you know, Florida has to have wins like this to A, make the NCAA tournament, but B, to consistently be the team that, you know, Florida expects out of their college basketball program now. And I know a lot of people, you know, I'm not as against Mike White as some other folks are, but, you know, everybody talks about Mike White's, you know, comparison, you know, in his first, you know, 4 or 5 seasons to Billy Donovan. But Billy Donovan was not taking over the same program Mike White was taking over at the same level, at the same expectation, at the same, you know, certainly not at the same salary that he's making. You know, but there is an expectation that Florida is going to produce, you know, in basketball now. And Mike White recruits really well, and he's recruiting the same guys all of these other blue blood and big time programs are. Now it's just a matter of gelling and putting it together. So, you know, this might be the win. You know, I don't want Mike White to struggle. I want Florida to win in basketball. But you watch a game like yesterday, and it's like you beat the number 4 team in the country by 25 points. And then, you know, just last week you get smoked by Missouri. So I hope that this is kind of, you know, that turning the page piece of it. But, you know, can't hold my breath that it is.
I knew you had to be holding your breath with all that language, man, for Blanco. I don't know how you did it. I think I may have used the wrong word for Blackshear. I'm going to say timid. I think timid is a better word. I think soft was probably a little bit of that, but I think he's more timid. I don't think he's comfortable with what he's doing out there.
No.
Any dandy facts?
Yeah, dandy facts. With Kadarius Toney coming back, you know, Florida is losing their top 4 receivers from this past year in terms of total number of yards. But unlike previous years where they've lost their last couple of top wide receiver, Florida is still going to be returning more than 50% of their receiving yards from last season. So that's pretty good. I mean, I pulled that stat from Will Salmon. Geez, you're throwing me off. Will Salmon tweeted something about it, but with Grimes coming back, Pitts coming back, Tony, I hope that Florida is able to use Tony the best way that they can next season. I just need him to be, focused on, that north south running rather than just that east west running. And, hopefully after that, whether there's an NFL career or maybe, or his rap career, whatever he's going to focus on, hopefully, you get one final good season out of him. So.
Yeah. I don't know why Tony got this energy. Like nobody wants him to rap either. It's been a little weird. Yeah. Like some of his tweets, like nobody really is against him rapping at all. I don't believe if somebody is, it's kind of weird. But he can become a better receiver and needs to come back, and he's coming back. I think he needed to come back to become a better receiver. Nobody really is bothered by him rapping, man. Keep doing, be creative, make music.
Absolutely.
The new facility that's being built has a recording studio in it. So I guess University of Florida and other programs are starting to see how these kids want to make art and music as well. So it's all good, bro.
Just don't turn into like an Antonio Brown, just because you play football and rap doesn't mean that you have to act like him. So, we're here to support you and, good luck and shout out to him as he enters his final year in Florida.
Already, man. Ahmad's not here, but Ahmad just shot me his song of the week. So we ready for the song, man. Good vibes and good vibrations in Gainesville. We got to pull up. We got to figure out on the schedule too. I want to do a meetup for a baseball game. We're going to figure that all out. We're going to announce to the people. We'll let y'all know. We're going to do a little tailgate and just kick it for a baseball game. Or if there's more than one game going on in that stadium, at Stadium Miguel, we're going to vibe. We'll figure that out.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so we've got a lot of good stuff, and we've been talking a lot off the air about what we're doing for the folks that that follow us and gratefully give to us on Patreon at patreon.com/stadiumandgale. So we're very supportive of those folks. I promise you there's some really cool stuff that we've got in the works for you there. We are always open to talk about sponsors. We've had a couple folks reach out to us recently. If you're interested in sponsoring our show, we'd love to tell you a little bit more about what we're doing there. And then, as you just mentioned, Soak, we're going to be doing a lot of tailgates. We're going to do some meet and greets. You guys have the National Signing Day event on National Signing Day in St. Pete. You have the golf tournament the next day with Big Three Roll-Up. So we'll make sure we push that as well. But there's a lot of good, exciting events coming up and a lot of good content that we're talking about for the offseason. So thanks so much for listening. And
And also, man, anybody listening, I don't know if you've seen our tweet that we put out. We're getting interns or anybody that want to work with the show in a creative, from a creative space, or just want to help us out with social media, whatever you want to do. If you got any ideas, you want to get down and hang out with us and grow the show a little bit, hit us up in the DMs. My man Spencer is going to sort things out, and we're going to choose a couple more people to bring on the team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, why don't we let Ahmad take us out, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Cam, take us out with Life is Good, man. Drake and Future. You know what I mean? Same corner next week.
All righty.
Working on a weekend like usual. Way off in the deep end like usual. Niggas swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up. Virgil got a paddock on my wrist going nuts. Niggas caught me slipping once, okay, so what? Someone hit your block up, I tell you if it was us. Man, a house in Rosewood, this shit too plush. Say my day's a number, but I keep waking up. Know you see my text, baby, please say something. Wine by the glass, your man a cheapskate, huh? Niggas gotta move off my release day, huh? Bitch, this is fame, not clout. I don't even know what that's about. Watch your mouth. Baby got an ego twice the size of the crib. I can never tell a shit, it is what it is. Said what I had to and did what I did. Never turn my back on FBG, God forbid. Virgil got a paddock on my wrist, doing front flips. Giving you my number, but don't hit me on no dumb shit. Working on the weekend like usual. Way off in the deep end like usual. Niggas swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up.
Virgil got a paddock on my wrist going nuts. Niggas caught me slipping once, okay, so what? Someone hit your block up, I tell you if it was us. Man, a house in Rosewood, this shit too plush.
It's cool, man. Got red bottoms on. Life is good. You know what I mean?
Like, 100,000 for the cheapest ring on a nigga finger, little bitch. Ooh, I done flew one out to Spain to be in my domain, an automata, bitch. Ooh, dropped $3 on the rain, called it Bentley truck, little bitch. Ooh, I was in the trap serving cocaine, they ain't been the same since. Ooh, granted, she was standing right there while I catch play on the brick. Ooh, I made them little niggas go haywire, Taliban in this bitch. Ooh, I done been down bad in them trenches, had to ride with that stick. Ooh, who gave you pills, who gave that dust, Pluto Central and lick. Ooh, too many convicts, they enrolled me to play in this shit. Ooh, round about nonsense, get old, so I'ma spread in this bitch. Ooh, they had the counter light, lighting it up, nigga, anybody can get it. Ooh, I'm on a PJ, lighting it up, backwood full of sticky. Ooh, I'm trying to tote that Drake or London, and it's extended. Ooh, they gotta stretch it, nigga, how we gon' die for this shit? Ooh, yeah, I ride for my niggas, I lie to my bitch. Ooh, we some poor high class niggas made it, we rich. Yeah, I was at the band though, got a penthouse for a closet. Ooh, it's like a shadow, live on my neck, my wrist. Ooh, I got pink toes that talk different languages. Ooh, got promethazine in my blood and Percocet. Yeah, 100,000 for the cheapest ring on a nigga finger, little bitch. Ooh, I done flew one out to Spain to be in my domain, an automata, bitch. Ooh, dropped $3 on the rain, called it Bentley truck, little bitch. Ooh, I was in the trap serving cocaine, they ain't been the same since. That's by the time I call him Serene. I go tremendo for new fettuccine. All fat though, claret the pinky. All fat though, we order the Fiji. I'm in the loop with the voo. I'm in the loop with the woo. Which one you working? I put your face on the news. I put the puss on the shirt. After I murk it, make him go shoot up the hearse. Cost me a quarter bird. Nigga's birthday and you a maniac. A fucking alien. How you spurging? Got that kitty cat. I'm having fun with that. Going Birkin. 100,000 for the cheapest ring on a nigga finger, little bitch. Ooh, I done flew one out to Spain to be in my domain, an automata, bitch. Ooh, dropped $3 on the rain, called it Bentley truck, little bitch. Ooh, I was in the trap serving cocaine, they ain't been the same since. Ooh, 100,000 for the cheapest ring on a nigga finger, little bitch. 100,000 for the cheapest ring on a nigga finger, little bitch. Yeah, 100,000 for the cheapest ring on a nigga finger, little bitch. 100,000 for the cheapest ring on a nigga.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the dentist you look forward to seeing. The Gentle Dentist, the only dentist you're happy to come back to. The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. How can we make you smile? Call 614-431-3311.